Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Sick of procurement bottlenecks? Get the cure with Bill Procurement. Bill is the all-in-one platform trusted by nearly 500,000 businesses to simplify their financial operations. And now they've introduced Bill Procurement, which pairs seamlessly with accounts payable to automate procure-to-pay workflows in one place. Every step, from submitting a purchase request to reconciling payment, happens in Bill Procurement, so your business keeps moving and growing. Score $200 when you see Bill Procurement in action with a demo. Go to bill.com/procurement200. bill.com/procurement200.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own
research. Welcome to the podcast on Wednesday, the 3rd of March, 2021. On the podcast today, John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel, talks about the following stocks: Bushveld Minerals, Blue Jay Mining, Rainbow Rare Earths, Rambler Metals and Mining, and Savannah Resources. Plus, as always, I have two lists for you: the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too. Of course, you can check out both these lists at voxmarkets.co.uk. We see lots of other content, articles. There's an article on Jersey Oil and Gas. There's one, in fact, there's obviously a Q&A with Paul Hill and Alistair Smith from Avacta. He's the CEO over there, of course. A way education to inter-high students make headlines in US. There's also an article on W Resources and one on Source Bio. And plenty of content right there. And of course, don't forget our COVID-19 index. Biggest rise of the day is GeneDrive, up 5.6% to 132. Biggest fall is Dev Clever Holdings to, what is that? 4.36% down, 25.5. Check that out at voxmarkets.co.uk.
Vox Markets is an online community of investors that runs a free mobile and desktop platform that allows you to track news and updates about any UK-listed company, offering RNS push notifications, detailed charts, pricing data, and much more. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. All right, John.
Yes, I'm good. Thank you.
Now, resource size macro-wise, what's happening? Because the markets have taken a bit of a breather. You know, the bond yields have gone up and stuff, and people, the markets had a bit of a wobble. Tech stocks have sold off. It's had a bit of a ripple effect across the markets, and we need this. I liken it, you know, to the tides, the markets. You know, it just goes in, comes out. Sometimes you have big waves come in. Sometimes they go out a long way. Those are bear markets or corrections. And that happens. You know, that's the way it works. Markets are like that, aren't they? But cyclical. So what's the resource side been like? Because they've rallied strongly recently. Have they come back a bit, or what's happening?
Well, look, I often agree with you. I often liken the markets to tides ebbing and flowing. But this feels like a tsunami of money coming into equities, certainly coming into the mining sector. So this is the tide that refuses to go out. This metals prices tick back for a couple of days, maybe it was even 3 days, and they're taking off. I mean, I was looking through the list of metals that we publish every morning. All those prices are up. The only thing I could see that wasn't going up was graphite for battery anodes. So, you know, looking at gold, platinum, palladium, silver, copper, even aluminium, nickel, zinc, lead, tin. Oil was steady. Iron ore was back up again. Steel in China. Even thermal coal. Coking coal was back a bit. Cobalt was steady. Neodymium and praseodymium were up again quite strongly. Lithium is up strongly. Spodumene, which is lithium as well, is strong. Ferrovanadium, steady, but has been moving very strongly over the last week. Even manganese, which we don't look at very often, and tungsten, which has been so unloved. The tungsten price has even gone up. I mean, if tungsten goes up, then the world is a strong place indeed. And we were writing this morning about India, where the national infrastructure pipeline is being led with $1.5 trillion worth of funding. Okay, that doesn't look so big compared to the American. Joe Biden's go big, $1.9 trillion. But you know, the fact is, you've got China, India, America, the UK, and you know, even Europe will follow along behind with a certain amount of stimulus spending. It's all happening.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and I agree with the long-term macro. So that, I mean, the bigger trend wave, I think, is in the positive direction, isn't it? But at the moment, we'll just get one of those, like I said, tides have gone out for a little bit. And but are individual resource stocks, what are they like? Are they pausing for breath, or are they rallying still strongly, or what?
Well, I think these stocks have paused over the last week or two. You know, looking at things like the Blue Jay share price, that pulled back. Bushveld Minerals, there's a whole bunch of these things that pull back. But actually, they're looking pretty steady. And in fact, if anything, there's a little bit of positive momentum creeping back into those stocks. So, yeah, I think the sector suffered a lack of confidence. Mm. And I think I think if anything, it's about to take off again.
Yeah, cool.
I mean, look at the copper price. I mean, it's at high levels. Everybody was worried. There was a lot of money taken off the table by the big funds that are almost all university long of copper. And normally when the market's like that, you get worried that there's going to be a massive sell-off. But not in this case. There's too much money coming in, particularly in China. There's such a lot of support and there's such a lot of demand in a world where we're still suffering supply disruption. Supply disruption's coming in for a whole variety of reasons. Sometimes it's heavy rain, or problems with shipping out of Latin America, logistics. We've got a problem in China at the moment with sourcing copper concentrates. So we know that because the smelters have dropped their treatment and refining charges. So they're effectively competing with each other to source those concentrates. I think the Chinese government is going to have to overturn its rule on banning the import of scrap copper, just to make sure they have enough copper to supply their own industry.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Well, listen, I sent a request out recently on social media about stocks. You may, send a resource stock request for John to talk about, and we'll try and get through as many. We had loads and loads, and so we can't do all of them, but we'll do them in subsequent weeks. But let's start off with, in fact, some of them were obviously fans of the stocks you already talk about, because we had a few duplicates there. But let's start with those ones. Let's start with Bushveld at the moment. What's happening there, John? BMN.
Yeah, well, Bushveld are going to be the happy beneficiary of rising vanadium prices. And we're forecasting $35 a kilo for vanadium this year. That's for ferrovanadium. I think definitely vanadium prices are rising strongly at the moment. We've seen a strong rise over the last month in ferrovanadium prices. I think it's up about 20%. 17.8% in Western Europe over the last month. And I think this is likely to happen again quite quickly. So, it's China is not exporting the material it was exporting. In fact, now China has turned into a net importer of ferrovanadium. And that's leaving the rest of the world short of the metal that it needs for alloying steel to create structural steel for hardening. So now that so many construction projects are being authorized, financed, back on track, new housing developments, there's so much that requires structural steel and steel rebar, and all that stuff really requires ferrovanadium. You can harden steel in other ways, but it ends up being brittle or more expensive. So ferrovanadium is what you want, and I think the increased competition is just going to carry on driving prices up, as we saw a couple of years ago.
Yeah, cool. BMN, let's have the chart in BMN. Is sort of like there. Do you look at the charts, John? Do you bother with charts or not?
I do. I think charts are incredibly important. Mm. Look, I spend my life looking at the fundamentals of these stocks.
Yeah.
But you need to look at a chart to sort of crystallize where you think things are going. And I can't explain exactly why the chart is so useful, but I know that Well, somebody said to me the other day, he was talking about a major hedge fund manager who said, never buy a stock without looking at the chart.
Absolutely. No, I mean, do you know what? I've for a long time, there are certain people who stick to fundamentals, some people the technicals. I say I'm a tech mentalist. I look at fundamentals on what to buy, but a chart on when to buy, you know, because, you know, I've always said that all the price is very, very important. Nothing more than price, what you pay for something, because you can, I keep saying this, and I've said it before, and lots of people say it as well, but you can buy a dreadful company at a good price and make a good profit. You can buy a good company at a bad price and sit in a loss for a long time. So it's worth looking at charts just in case the stock may have rallied by 100 or 200% the last 5 days and you just bought the spike, you know? So you don't want to do that. So you always got to check a chart, even if you have, you know, just basic knowledge of one. It's always good to see where the price is in respect, in perspective of where it's been and where it's going. And anyway, looking at Bushveld, they've bounced off. They went up to, they've come down, nice looking chart actually. I mean, of the lows, they got down to 10 pence. They've rallied to 22 pence. They've come back a bit now and they're sitting in between. But there's sort of rallied, a big rally off that 16 pence level. I don't know what day was that. I don't know why that was. They have news out on, it was 19th of Feb, but a big rally on 19th of Feb. And looking like it's going back towards that. Yeah, decent looking level there, you know. So plenty of upside.
Well, it tells you there's good support at that 60 or above 16
pence. Yeah.
Probably bounced off about 16 and a half.
Yeah.
16.8, I think. So yes, I think there's, I think there's a lot more room for it to run. And it, you know, it's a big, fundamentally, it's a much bigger business than it was a couple of years ago. Sure, it's had a few issues. It's teething issues. It's, you know, growing the business, growing production levels is tougher than management, I think, had imagined. But they are actually doing a good job at the end of the day. They are growing their production to new highs, and I think that will continue over the next few years. They just need to get their targeting a bit better.
Yeah, I see. Okay, next one up on the list, John, is, again, we've covered it quite a bit anyway, but someone asked for Blue Jay Mining. What's happening with Jay at the moment?
Blue Jay Mining, I mean, again, they're a beneficiary of rising ilmenite prices, and that's, ilmenite is titanium mineral sand concentrate, and that's used for paint and pigments. And I think, though, ilmenite prices are going to carry on going up, and they are very, very sensitive to higher prices. That really feeds through, and we raised our valuation on the stock a couple of weeks ago, so I'm pretty confident. The big thing for me, and I as soon as I saw this news, I asked for permission to buy the shares, and I did, at about 11p, was the American Exim Bank have offered to put in $208 million into the project. So they sent a letter of intent. And when you get a letter of intent from a United States government institution, you know it's a real thing. They're offering to lend, and they haven't released what the interest rate would be. But if you look at the Ironbark company that has another project in Greenland, they've offered a large amount of money at 1.46% interest rate. I think that was the rate. And so we would expect Blue Jay to get a similar rate. Now, for borrowing money in the mining sector, that's nothing. In fact, I spoke to a banker earlier this week where the bank has simply decided to give up lending because they can't compete when government institutions are lending money like this at this sort of rate with, you know, possibly no strings attached, no warrants, no shares, none of the bells and whistles these banks like to charge to increase their fees. And that's fantastic because the Blue Jay feasibility study was $245 million, which personally I think was much more than they actually need. This is a very simple project. Okay, it's in the Arctic Circle, it's in Greenland, but it's no more remote than Kenmare Resources is, in my view. You know, it's in a place that is very accessible, certainly through the spring and the summer months. And it's a very simple project because all you have to do is bulldoze the sand off the beach, put it through the machinery, and it's done. I mean, the management have proven that they can manage the logistics. That works very well. So for me, it feels like a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I always say nothing's a no-brainer in investing. You can get close to it, I think. But sometimes you never know. Never, I should say, never treat anything like a no-brainer. You know, always be aware there's always risk with every investment, isn't there? You know.
Yes, I should probably take your advice.
Yeah. No, but sometimes I've seen companies, you know, investments that seem like a no-brainer. But when we get into that sort of complacent area, we tend to make mistakes, you know, or we go too big or whatever. We make some silly mistake, you know. Often, you know, one of the worst things are, like in this market, when it's been quite bullish and a lot of new investors are joined after the big sell-off, they've been sitting on just profits thinking, this is easy. This is so easy. And I always think one of the worst things to happen for a... It's not really bad. But I mean, if you're brand new to invest in and you kill it on your first investment, you really do well. That can set you up for a big fall because you think, okay, right, I'm gonna remortgage the house here. And I'm gonna, this is so easy. And then that's when the big hit will come, the big fall will happen, you know. So, I think everything should be treated as a no... It shouldn't be seen as a no-brainer. There's always something there to trip you up somewhere, isn't there, you know?
I agree. And one way to sort of go to work with that is to invest in, have a unit size and then invest a third and another third and then another third.
Scaling always, so
If you buy the stock and it goes down because maybe everyone else is buying it at the same time and had the same idea. Then if it goes down, you buy another third and then you don't feel so bad about it. And then, okay, it may go up or down from there, but at least you've got another third of firepower ready and waiting. And let's say you haven't invested the full unit when you made the first investment and the shares take off. Well, you're still doing well, and you just haven't risked all your capital.
Exactly, yes. I mean, you know, that's one of my... On my website at the moment, Share Pickers Investment Club, I talk about scaling in all the time. And like I said, you'll never, ever get the perfect price, but you can get a very good average. And that's what you've got to try and do, you know. And like I said, if the story hasn't changed, the share price goes down. And then if you're happy buying a share at £1, why are you happy buying more at 90 pence? If the story is exactly the same, you've just got better value there, haven't you? You've just got a bit of more of a bargain. So, I've always scaled in, you know, as long as the story hasn't changed, of course. But cool. Okay, next one, John, is we covered recently, actually. Rainbow Rare Earths, RBW. What's your thoughts there?
Well, Rainbow, we've mentioned earlier the neodymium and praseodymium price has risen this morning to $89,766 a tonne. Yesterday, when we reported the price, it was $85,000 a tonne. So it's a big leap forwards. And all of this is on the back of new demand to come from electric vehicles, but more the bigger driver is going to be these offshore wind farms, because we think each one of these offshore turbines uses about half a ton of the neodymium praseodymium rare oxide. And you know, I mean, half a ton when you're talking about $89,000 a ton, I mean, it's a decent amount of money to, you know, just in raw materials costs. That doesn't even include the cost of processing and making the magnet, the permanent magnet, to go into the turbine. So it's very profitable, and that's what's going to drive the profits of these rare earth companies. So if you look at Rainbow or Macango, which we think are two of the better companies in the market there, they've both got solid projects, and the economics have just improved a lot.
RBW. Rambler Metals and Mines, RMM, I assume that is, yeah.
Well, this is a company we worked very closely with over the last 6 months. It got in trouble last year when copper prices were low, and they weren't mining the deposit, which is the Ming mine in Canada, terribly well. They were suffering extra dilution and the grades were not good. Toby Bradbury, who's the guy that went into Shanta Gold and sorted out the turnaround of the mining there, he's now in charge. He's a very good man. The company's been completely financially restructured, so all the expensive debt has gone. This stock is back on track. So they raised money a couple of times over the last few months. Lots of new shareholders in there, firmly behind it. And I think this stock is going to perform well. My faith is in Toby Bradbury. I bought shares in the last funding round because I felt that this would perform very well. And I'm buying shares on a view for making quite a lot more than I originally put in. No, it's a copper gold producer. Copper prices continue to rise. The environment is so much better for it as a company. Even if all they do is repeat the mistakes they were making over the last year, they will still do well just because copper and gold prices are so much higher. And my money is on Toby Bradbury raising production rates, making everything much more efficient, lowering costs, and overseeing a dramatic turnaround.
Okay, cool. That's RM. And last one we've got time for here is SAV, S-A-V, Savannah Resources. Just give us a background into what they're up to. I haven't told you we've talked about those for a long time, have we? What are they up to?
Well, the fact is the lithium market and lithium prices have been really bad and really dull for quite a while. And at last, they've leapt higher. So we've now got lithium carbonate prices at over $12,000 a tonne. And you think, well, a year ago we were at 6,000 or 8,000, and it was very. I mean, the lithium price has been so slow to catch up with everything else that's going on in the world. And we've been talking about it, but no one was believing us when we said, look, all these new batteries coming through are going to have more lithium. We don't see enough new lithium mines being developed. I mean, there was a rush in Australia of companies to develop lithium mines, and a lot of those got caught out when prices collapsed. And they've been selling off stockpiles and selling anything that they could, and of course not investing in new production or production growth. And that's allowing other companies to come through. So Savannah, which has a really nice quality project in Portugal, so it's in Europe, where so the European car manufacturers are going to want to buy their lithium. They're now backed by a Portuguese company called Galp, who do oil petrochemical refining, and they own petrol stations. So they really want to be in this business. We think Galp will help with a new lithium refinery in Portugal or somewhere like that. So I think Savannah is definitely one to watch. I think it's really well placed strategically, right. And the mining the lithium is going to be perfectly simple. So I think that's got to be a key stock if you're interested in battery metals and lithium.
Yeah. Chart's looking good. You know, it's come down. Well, back in March, everything from March. Wow. Do you know what? It's literally, buy fear. That's why everyone's selling fear. You've got to buy fear. Go long fear. March 18th of March, 2020, Dash for Cash. Down. It was down at, it hit, that's a low of the day, 0.7 pence. All right, it's now it's 4.59. So that's a multi bagger there. So looking strong there. Yeah, I mean,
I think you have a really good point, because I don't look at these share charts enough. I mean, that looks like a very good price buying level for a company like this that's well managed, well run, good team. They know what they're doing. Yes, the market's beaten them up over the fact that lithium prices were so low and really very dull for quite a while. And now they're back to where the lithium prices are back to where they should be. And we know that there's a lot of car companies and battery manufacturing facilities that are ramping up what they're doing, and they need that lithium from somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Marvellous stuff. Johnny Mayer. There'll be more from Johnny Mayer next week. We've got a big list of stuff here. John's got the list there, so you'll have a look into those, and we'll cover more of those next week. John, thanks for that, and we'll speak you next weeky.
Thank you, Justin.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They're at five. Cellular Goods, down 5%, 12 pence. At four, Fragrant Prosperity Holdings, down 10% to 6.5. At three, Napster, non-mover, 7 pence. At two, Sabian Technology, up 10% to 0.13. And at one, Mountfield Group, it's down 40% to 0.325. Okay, it's time for the top five most read RNSs. They are as follows. At five, Landor Resources, Junior Lake Property, BAM Gold and Battery Metals. At four, 4D Pharma Investor Conference Participation. At three, Hemogenix Pharma, HemoCart T Update. At two, Gene Drive, Antibiotic Induced Hearing Loss Update. And at one, Argo Blockchain, and that's February operational update and CEO pay in Bitcoin. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.